championing free votes in Parliament.
The right to die, that legislation, I was against that. I think it was not respectful of the right of a doctor to say no and to respect his conscience, and so I was against that. But it's not about me how I will vote, it's about the members, what they want to do, and that's why I'm open to having these kind of debates.
On the feature today, an exclusive interview with Federal Conservative Party leadership candidate Maxime Bernier on how he would approach social issues if he ever becomes prime minister. In the news, Sam Osterhoff weighs in on his recent win in that Ontario provincial by-election. A court challenge in BC to native spirituality in the public school system. And some new legal analysis of Alberta's Bill 10.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
Sam Osterhoff is settling in as the new MPP for Niagara West Glanbrook. Osterhoff, the 19-year-old poli sci student from Brock University, won a by-election in that constituency earlier this month, replacing former Ontario PC leader Tim Hudak as the representative for the area. He did it by garnering more votes than all of his opponents combined, and all while defending a staunchly social conservative worldview on things like abortion and Ontario's controversial sex education program. Those positions have put him at odds with some people in his own party, but he's not expecting any major friction moving forward.
That's a bit of a speculative question. I mean, we're having to see the issues as they do come up, and I've been very clear about my positions on certain issues, and there seems to be a great deal of respect within the caucus and within the party for my beliefs and perspectives, and so far I haven't had any issues with that.
Osterhoff says some people may be tempted to define him strictly by his views on social issues, but he's trying to dispel that attitude because he says there's more to him than just his social conservative positions.
I think I've been clear that my issues cover a broad spectrum. I'm not a one-issue candidate, and I don't intend to be a one-issue MPP. I intend to address a wide variety of concerns across the province. I would definitely say there's a danger that some may attempt to place me into one box, but I'm a comprehensive conservative, and that's something I've repeated time and time again throughout the campaign as well.
As to his legislative priorities, Osterhoff is taking a bit of a wait-and-see attitude, although he does have some ideas moving forward.
Hydro rates, I'm going to be pushing for healthcare, infrastructure. Those are huge priorities for everyone in the riding, for every community in the riding. So I'm going to be pushing on those issues. When it comes to some other issues, I'm looking at conscience protections for physicians here in the province. We don't have codified conscience protections for physicians who do not want to perform euthanasia or medical assistance in dying, so I'm excited to see what I can bring forward on that type of file.
We'll have a full feature interview with Sam Osterhoff on next week's program. In other news, a court challenge in BC involving the introduction of practices of native spirituality into the public school system. The case is being brought forward by the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms in Calgary. Lawyer John Carpe says a mother in Port Alberni on Vancouver Island got a letter from the school principal a few weeks ago.
There was going to be an Aboriginal smudging ceremony in the classroom. The purpose was to cleanse the spirits of the children of bad energy. Everything has a spirit, the furniture has a spirit, and the children have spirits, and we need to fan the smoke from sage over the kids to cleanse their spirits. She went to the school to learn more and was shocked to find out that the ceremony had already taken place.
Carpe says because this is a public school, the courts have clearly indicated this kind of activity is out of bounds.
The courts have ruled, the Supreme Court of Canada in the Saguenay case and the Ontario Court of Appeal in the Zeidelberg case, that you cannot have religious ceremonies or prayers or practices in the classroom as part of the curriculum, even if you provide an exemption. We don't want religious rituals, religious ceremonies in the classroom, and that's in keeping with what the state of the law is right now.
The suit has been criticized because of the notion that it's trying to suppress the teaching of native cultural practices. But Carpe says this is about much more than that.
When the school board says this smudging ceremony is cultural, our response is, well, yes, you're correct. It is cultural. And it's also religious, obviously, because it's talking about people having a spirit, and the spirit needs to be cleansed, and we need to get rid of the bad energy. Agree or disagree as you wish with those beliefs, but they are religious beliefs. And a ceremony with the express purpose of cleansing the spirit is a religious ceremony.
No court date for this yet. The school district has indicated it won't be backing down. The case will likely be heard next year. And finally, a new legal opinion on Alberta's Bill 10. It comes from Carmen Bradley, a retired Canadian Army officer living in Calgary.
I don't have a legal background, but searching through lots of legal dissertations, I understood how the Supreme Court thinks, and these constitutional issues boil down to a duty to accommodate conflicting rights, conflicting constitutional freedoms. And the gain from Bill 10 should be huge compared to the burden that's put on people. And there should be reasonable limits to justify the guidance and policies. And what I found is this was woefully short on all three of those considerations.
Bradley says the notion of balance is completely missing from Bill 10. The benefits to transgendered students, for example, are far outweighed by the detrimental effects on things like parental rights.
For Christians and faith-based parents trying to raise their children, it violates the children's freedom of speech. It violates their freedom of association in faith-based schools, for example. It breaches the parents' ability to manage the medical health of their own children. Like, it's a major insertion of the state into family affairs.
Bradley also predicts that if the bill is not amended, it'll only be the start of a much larger battle in the Alberta education system.
What's coming down the line is the Alberta version of what Ontario has done in terms of sexuality education. It's hugely controversial. It's very pro-sexual minority. And this bill actually clears the table for this new curriculum, and a very little argument can be made of it unless the bill is changed.
Bradley has set up a website to outline his findings. It's at bill10courtchallenge.org. We link to it from the homepage this week. Back with more after this.
The government of Ontario is actively hiding abortion statistics. This is done in order to frustrate the ongoing work of helping women and advancing preborn human rights. Join the Stop Censorship Tour in Ontario this January with We Need a Law Director Mike Shooten, ARPA Canada lawyer John Sikkema, and pro-life blogger Pat Maloney. Visit weneedalaw.ca for more information and event details.
And we're back on the program. Over the past few months, we've been featuring extended interviews with some of the candidates for the leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada. This week, a conversation with Quebec MP Maxime Bernier. Mr. Bernier has been the Member of Parliament for the riding of Beauce in Quebec since 2006. I reached him at his office in Ottawa. Mr. Bernier, welcome to Lighthouse News.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be with you today.
Much has been made of the notion that the Conservative Party is a house divided right now. The Vancouver Convention had the big debate on gay marriage, and some people in the social conservative wing pretty much promised to leave after they lost that debate. Also after some of your fellow leadership contenders marched in the gay pride parades this summer. First of all, do you agree that that's a problem? And if it is, how do you propose to get those two sides back together?
No, I don't think it is a problem. As you know, we are the only party. If you look at the Liberal Party of Canada, Justin Trudeau said that was very clear, that the Liberal Party of Canada is a pro-choice party about the abortion. And he said he won't sign any papers for any candidates that are pro-life. So for us, we are a party that have a social conservative, fiscal conservative, pro-choice people, pro-life people. So that's, I think, the only place where the social conservative pro-life can come, and they are welcome in our party. That being said, you know, for me, I always believe in freedom and having debates of ideas. And what I said to our social conservative members or social conservative members of parliament, I have some of them who are in line with me with my campaign, who are on board with me, and I'm very proud of that. what I told them, I said, you know, if you want to open a debate that will speak about social conservative values like abortion or other subjects, that is your democratic right as a member of parliament. If you are a member of parliament, you have a right to table a private bill. And if I'm the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, I will respect that. And I will respect your right, your democratic right to table a bill on any subject. And I can tell you that if it's something like on abortion or social conservative values or a matter of conscience, it will be a free vote in the parliament for everybody, the minister include, and all the conservative members. And we'll have that debate. Because it is your right to speak about a subject, we'll have that debate, and the parliament will decide. So for me, I'm not afraid to opening a debate about abortion or other issue. Like the definition of marriage, personally, I was for opening that definition, but if we need to have a vote, I will look at the legislation, and I will decide what will be my vote at that time. And on abortion, I don't know what would be my position on that. If members want to table a bill on abortion, I would read that bill and decide how to vote after it.
A follow-up to that, though. If you become leader, would your government actually introduce draft legislation on this kind of stuff, or would you leave it to the backbenchers to bring it forward?
Good question. As a government, I want to introduce any bill on that, because that won't be part of my platform. But if a member is one to table a bill, a private member bill, like I said, that will be their choice. I won't interfere. I won't use any procedural tactic to restrain their right. That's their democratic right, and we'll have that debate. But no, for me, as the government, we won't table any bill on abortion, for example.
You're perceived as probably the most libertarian candidate in the leadership race. On social issues, and I know this isn't fair, but I'm going to ask it anyway. On social issues, the libertarians are kind of perceived as the people who say, you know, smoke whatever you want, sleep with whoever you want, we don't care. The government has no business regulating a lot of those sort of moral issues. Address that one for me.
First of all, I think the most important is what I will do if we have a debate about that. It's what social conservative members of parliament want to do, and that's the most important. If you look at my votes on social issues, it's depending on some issues. Like, I can tell you that the right to die, that legislation that we voted on the last parliament, I was against that. I think it was too large. It was not respectful of the right of a doctor to say no and to respect his conscience. And so I was against that. But it's not about me how I will vote. It's about the members, what they want to do. And that's why I'm open to having these kind of debates.
Okay, final question, just to move away from the social conservative focus. Give our listeners three other good reasons to vote for Maxime Bernier.
The first one, for social conservative, it is, like I said, I will respect your right and we'll have the debate, and I'm not scared to open up debate on social issues in Canada. Second, I will go back to balance the budget and be sure to have a smaller government, a limited government in Ottawa, because I don't think if you have a big government that is spending the money that we don't have, it won't create wealth and job in this country. So my campaign is focused on the economy and job creation. It is why I have a strong platform on lower taxes and abolishing supply management. I think it is not fair. I'm the only candidate who has the courage to speak against that cartel. I think it is unfair for Canadian consumers, and I'm the only candidate who wants to abolish that. I'm the only candidate also who wants to get rid of corporate welfare. I don't believe in subsidies to Bombardier or GM and big corporations like that. I think we must use that money. There's $16 billion every year that the federal government is giving to a big corporation like that. We must use that money and lower taxes to every single entrepreneur in Canada. So that's why I want to lower the corporate income tax from 15% to 10%. I want to abolish the capital gains tax. And we'll do that by using the money that the federal government is giving to a big corporation. I don't believe in a big, fat government that will interfere in our day-to-day lives, and a government that will interfere in provincial jurisdiction. I believe in in freedom. I believe in individual freedom and personal responsibility. So if you want to have real change in Ottawa, I'm the guy who is having a real platform for that. It's easy to speak for a smaller government in Ottawa, but you need to do some changes. So it is why I want to privatize Canada Post. I want to privatize the airport. I want to abolish the CRTC in the telecom sector. If you want to have a smaller government in Ottawa, you must do some reform.
Monsieur Bernier, thank you very much. Appreciate this.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And have a nice day.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage. Or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.